In a time like none of us have experienced before, there's strength to be found in community institutions like Iowa Public Radio. I'm Executive Director Myrna Johnson, and I'm so proud of the thoughtful, informed coverage IPR brings you on the issues that matter. Listener funding is the power source that makes it all possible. Facts, understanding, insight, that's what you fund when you give to this station. Make your gift now at iowapublicradio.org, and thank you.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. Even if you are eligible for a COVID-19 vaccine in Iowa, it can be incredibly challenging to find one. There's no centralized scheduling website or phone number. Iowans over 65 can get assistance by calling 211, but all other Iowans have found that they're pretty much on their own. For people who have reliable Wi-Fi and are comfortable with technology, making appointments can still be challenging. For those who aren't comfortable with technology, it's even harder. Many Iowans have stepped forward to help, creating aggregator websites and offering their assistance to friends and family. And over the past few weeks, the Iowa Vaccine Alert Twitter account has gained more than 30,000 followers and helped connect thousands of Iowans with vaccines. The man behind that account is Brian Finley. He's a web and app developer who lives in Iowa City. He's on the line with me now. Hello, Brian.
Hey, how are you this morning?
Good. Thank you so much for being here. And tell me what prompted you to create this Twitter account?
I feel like a lot of Iowans, I became eligible for with the wider distribution and eligibility requirements on the 8th. And so I was spending a lot of time refreshing and trying to get a spot for a shot just like the rest of us. And So I found a way to write a couple of scripts on my computer that made it a little easier and sort of notified me when something came up. And then after getting my family registered and ready to go, I felt like it was something that could help other people and decided to push those alerts out to Twitter.
So you created the Iowa Vaccine Alert account, and you can look for that on Twitter if you're not already following it, which it feels like pretty much everybody is at this point. But you don't even have to be on Twitter to be able to view that account. If you search for Iowa Vaccine Alert on Twitter, you can look at all of the updates, even if you don't have your own Twitter account, which I think is important for a lot of people to know. When you launched that account, what were you expecting?
I'm not really sure what exactly I was expecting, not 30,000 people in a couple of weeks. I put it up there, and by the end of the first day, there were about 800 followers, which to me seemed like a huge amount. And by the end of that first week, we were closing in on 10,000 people, and I was suddenly talking to media and trying to figure out how to do public health PR and trying to handle all the attention that sort of came from it.
Yeah, I'm sure that that's been really overwhelming. And what your account does, you share openings for vaccine appointments. And once somebody knows there's an opening, it's still their responsibility to navigate to that website and grab a spot and fill in all of their information. So there's still a pretty high barrier to entry for anyone who's trying to get a vaccine appointment in Iowa. You've also been encouraging people who are comfortable with that technology to help others. Did you start to realize that not only was it kind of a pain for you, but that the barriers to entry are very high for a lot of Iowans?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody's quite thrilled with the way that this has gone across the country, but, you know, state level as well. So when you look and see the idea that to get an appointment at most any pharmacy or whatnot in state, being that most of the distribution's happening through Hy-Vee right now, you have to be online and you have to have an internet connection. Unless you're over 65, there was no way over the phone to make an appointment with Hy-Vee. So what I really was encouraging folks to do, especially as we got toward the end of that first week, was to look around and sort of check with their family members, their grandparents, people in their faith communities, the neighborhood lady that you always see gardening in her front yard, the guy down at the bingo hall. Find people that may not be online, may not have that sort of skill set or whatnot, and reach out and make sure that they know they're eligible, know that they can get help. And then some people have sort of taken it a bit further and are taking down information for other people and registering on their behalf so that they have the process down a little quicker and are able to use those skills to help other people.
Yeah. Well, I can imagine for a lot of people, it's hard to ask for help and also hard to accept help when it's offered as well. And you found that you were starting to get a lot of feedback from people about how unfair this system is, about the lack of equity in our system in Iowa. Now, you didn't create this system. You're helping people get appointments, but you got some criticism for giving people with that tech-savvy advantage in an even bigger advantage?
Yeah, I mean, it's a totally valid point. Like I said, toward the end of that first week, a lot of the equity and accessibility issues came up, whether it was making the appointment, getting to the appointment, those sorts of things. And that's when I sort of had a little crisis of conscience about it a little bit. And I ended up talking to a number of people, some pharmacists, some public health professionals, some doctors, some nurses, as well as my therapist. And the sort of consensus that everybody came to was that's kind of a struggle that's presented with any kind of big public health rollout is, there's never going to be an equitable and fair way to get to 100% of the people in the order that they should. But especially as we're trying to work toward herd immunity, that shots in arms is what we're really working toward. And doing the best you can about spreading the message of equity and trying to find a way to help people that may not have that leg up is really, really the path that they tried to direct me to take. And so almost daily, I really try to push that the message to help other people get through. And I've had several people that have sort of set up almost these workflows, these pipelines to help. And I know one woman and one of her friends has sort of teamed up and gotten close to 500 Iowans, maybe over 500 by now, registered on their behalf. And the median age, they said, according to their info, was 55 or over. So it was that started to calm some of my worries, as well as just the increasing supply as it's come through in the past couple of weeks.
You have shared a lot of information that you have gotten from pharmacists, especially at some of these small towns. So we've seen a lot of vaccine tourism in Iowa. A lot of people in the larger cities are having a really hard time finding vaccines close to them in Des Moines or in Iowa City or Cedar Rapids. And so they'll go for a drive, travel to Muscatine or Davenport or Council Bluffs and get one of these appointments that, there's more of an opportunity to fill. And one of the problems that developed with that then was that later they might see an appointment close to them, pick up that appointment, and then they were unable to cancel that first appointment. Even if they tried, the software that these pharmacies were using wasn't allowing them to cancel those appointments. So that's a pretty scary problem, and that results in wasted doses, right?
We actually haven't run into any wasted doses that I at least know about, but it does really put a lot of stress on the pharmacies and the pharmacists themselves. I know every sort of independent pharmacy or smaller pharmacy uses their own kind of system, but I know at least at Hy-Vee, they're working to fix this at the moment, but at Hy-Vee, if there is a same-day cancellation or a no-call, no-show, there's no way for them to release that back into the online registration system for someone to snatch up. And so it falls onto the pharmacist or the pharmacy staff to go through and either call tomorrow's appointments to see if they want to come in early, or to go to some manually kept wait list that they have to try to fill those slots. And so especially toward the beginning, there were reports of a lot of sites having dozens, maybe 40 or 50 cancellations in a day, which really just makes the pharmacist's life harder. And, we don't want to make their life harder when they're trying to save ours. So we're trying to keep that down.
So what do you see right now? You are someone who has a real inside view on how things are going. What do you see as the greatest challenges to getting Iowans vaccinated right now?
I think the two pretty obvious ones are supply in the bigger cities. It's still at a point where places like Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, Des Moines, Waterloo, those appointments tend to be up there for a couple of minutes at the most, especially Des Moines, it seems. So obviously getting supply and large amounts of doses into those areas, but there's also a big swath of southern and western Iowa that appointments sit open for days. I'm not going to call any cities out by name, but anything on the west side of the state is sitting there for days, sometimes weeks, with those being open. And so I think part of it has to do with just the workflow and the messaging about, getting awareness and drumming up support for the vaccination among a certain subset of the population. But some of it also does just boil down to increased supply and penetration into some of the communities on the eastern and central part of the state.
Well, and I'm sure we'll learn more about vaccine hesitancy in Iowa as the weeks go on, because I feel like we're approaching a tipping point. Right now, there's still so much demand for the vaccine and people who want it so badly who are willing to drive to get it. And the governor has endorsed that. She says this vaccine tourism is okay. Do you feel like small town pharmacists and people who live in these smaller communities also feel like that is an okay thing to do?
From what I've heard, they've been in support. I think as long as it's sort of done responsibly, like we were talking about earlier, and not canceling appointments last minute because you find something closer. But it's also a really great opportunity for people to kind of get out of their bubble a little bit and see some of the cool things that places, smaller towns in Iowa have to offer. I'm a big craft beer fan. And so, if I were to take one of these trips, I would sort of polka dot the breweries that might be along the way. And obviously with the pandemic, all these, small businesses in these towns tend to, struggle a little bit more. And so somebody early on had posted the idea of, when you go to these towns, don't just drop in, drop out, have lunch, stop in the shops and just sort of see what you can do to kind of support that town that may be struggling at this point.
Yeah, spend a little bit of money if you possibly can.
Yes.
So I do think that in the next few weeks, though, or maybe months, we will see the amount of vaccine outpacing demand. And then we will learn about vaccine hesitancy in Iowa and how many people are reluctant to get this vaccine. Do you have any thoughts on that and on getting the word out about how powerful these vaccines are and how safe they are?
I mean, I've sort of been thrust into this, and so I'm not necessarily a public health person, but I know obviously politically there's a certain subset of people that are hesitant to get the vaccine or making it a political issue. And so that's something that maybe folks on that side of the aisle will have to address. And then just, culturally and racially, there's a lot of vaccine hesitancy in some of the underrepresented communities based on historical things that have happened and the way that they've been treated. And I know there are a lot of great community groups and partners that are trying to penetrate deeper and direct messaging into these communities to work through that and answer questions and try to confirm for people that rightfully have these worries about the safety of it. And, maybe by the time the rest of us are vaccinated and starting to get outside and into our normal lives a little bit more, they'll see, things are going okay, and I really, really would love to head down for happy hour, and so maybe I should get the shot.
Where are you in your personal vaccination journey?
I got vaccinated on March 8th, that first Monday that things were available. I am one of the lucky few that was able to snag the Johnson & Johnson. So
one and done.
And I think I've got 5 or 6 more days before I'm at full efficacy. And more importantly, my mom and my in-laws are close to that as well. So, family Easter is on the table, and things like that that are kind of just signals of returning to, normal isn't really a concept anymore, but right. returning to something resembling a natural life.
And closeness with those people you love. And how much time are you spending every day? You don't just do the Iowa vaccine account. You are also have vaccine alerts for surrounding states, right?
Yep. So it's a fairly well automated system. So when people started popping up and saying, I've got, you know, friends and relatives in this state and whatnot, I was able to spin up some copies of the code and adjust it for other states. Right now we have Minnesota, Illinois, Missouri, Nebraska, and might be firing up Wisconsin soon. And between most of my time is spent on the Iowa site, just because I don't have as much knowledge of the other states in terms of answering questions, that kind of thing. They also haven't taken off quite as much. Minnesota's starting to run up there as they, I believe today, they opened up vaccine availability to everybody in the state. But, you know, it's going to be it's probably at least a couple, 3-4 hours a day between answering questions or solving any sort of technical issues. But there there's been a great community that's sort of risen up in the mentions on the Twitter feed to get questions answered and kind of triage those that are incoming. And, I'm really thankful for those people that have sort of stepped up to help out. And I know as we roll into next week when the governor's edict for wide availability for everybody to be able to get it, there's going to be, I'm guessing, another influx of people with the same sorts of questions and having some of the same struggles.
Well, and this has been an entirely volunteer effort for you. And I've got people tweeting me saying, please say thank you from me. I'm sure you've been overwhelmed with thank yous, but it really can't be said enough. Thank you for stepping up and for doing this. It's obviously something you didn't have to do to share your skills with everybody else in Iowa, but thank you for doing that. How does it feel to be a part of this?
It feels nice, but at the same time, my wife's a nurse and I at the children's hospital, and I hear sort of the struggles that even those who aren't necessarily on the COVID unit, how this has changed the way that they have to work and the extra effort they've put forward. And so, you know, me spending a couple hours getting code running and then triaging this thing doesn't really feel like that big of a deal or a contribution compared to what the medical professionals, the pharmacists, the doctors, all the more frontline folks do. So it still just kind of seems like something that was obvious and something I really didn't have to think about doing. So.
Well, it's made a big difference. And I know thousands and thousands of Iowans really appreciate you. Brian, thank you so much.
Yep, thank you.
Brian Finley is the man behind the Iowa Vaccine Alerts account on Twitter. You can just search for Iowa Vaccine Alerts. And of course, you can set a notification so you can see every alert that comes through. And you don't even have to have your own Twitter account to see what's going on. Again, Iowa Vaccine Alerts. This is Talk of Iowa.